Did you ever have doubts? You know, did you, in a world that we live in today with doubters and atheists and agnostics and false religions and non-believers and skeptics, did you ever really doubt? Have doubts maybe about your salvation, doubts about God, doubts about God's goodness. And you know, the reality of life that we live, we can. And I'm going to admit this morning, there's times that I've had doubts. You know, I want us to be honest this morning. Did you ever, and maybe today, sit here with some type of secret fear in your life? A fear. You know, we can have all kind of fears. It's not something we as believers, if you're here today and know Christ, that we like to talk about. We don't like to admit we have fear, because if we say we have fears, then it's like, well, you're not just trusting the Lord. You don't have faith and so forth. But the reality of life is that we can have fears. And if you have fears today, you're human. You're a human being. I got this on? Well, the battery's going bad, Aaron. I guess it's still on, sorry. But we do have fears, and we can have fears in life. You know, you can have fears about dying. You can have fears about your finances. You can have fears about how's all this going to work out. Fears about your future, what's going to happen in the world we live in, and fears about the big word cancer. And sometimes you get a pain and you think, I wonder if that's cancer in there. The what-ifs of life, we can all have fears. And I don't care whether you're young or you're older. You would think as you get older that you would have less fears, but that's not the case. You can still have fears in life. Did you ever pray about something or someone and you were just, oh, God, you got to answer. And you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed about that need or about that situation, and time went by and it was months and years and you're still praying, but it finally hits you. Maybe God's not going to answer that. And you felt a little frustrated. You had a little twinge of doubt in your life about it. And then you start saying, why, God? Why won't you answer that prayer? Why won't you do that, God? I know it's good. And you question God. Did you ever really just question faith and God and Jesus Christ? Is this all real? I mean, there's so many different belief systems in the world. Maybe this is just one of them, and it's not all real at all. It's just something. And let me tell you this, if you have ever had that thought go through your mind, you're just human. You're human. This morning, I like to preach a simple message. It's only got 2 points, but it's got a bunch of subpoints under it. So get your Bible, if you would, and turn over to the book of Colossians. Colossians this morning. My 2 points are this. Jesus Christ was, is, and always will be enough. Was, is, and always will be enough in your life. And in fact, he's more than enough. He's more than enough. In Colossians, we look at the scriptures this morning, and if you are a student of the Bible and you like to take notes, as I did, I circled all the little times that the word all, A-L-L, appears in this passage, and it's numerous times. Well, maybe it'll help you look at the scripture a little closer. In verse number 9 of Colossians number 1, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who, Jesus Christ, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, things in earth, or things in heaven. Now look, if you will, over in chapter number 2, down at verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Then he says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, on a quick reading, you may see that that looks a little deep. It looks a little concentrated there of all that meaning, to gather that on just a brief overall reading. But I want to tell you what it says is this: Jesus Christ is enough. He is enough. And theology reveals, this Bible reveals that he is enough. Why? Because of who he is. Jesus Christ is our creator. He is fully God. Through a virgin birth, he became a fully man in this world and fully God at the same time. Now, we don't have to understand it all. We just got to believe it. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the great I Am. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-ever-existent. He's the Son of God and the Son of Man, and he's the one and only Savior for all mankind, who Jesus Christ is and what he did. What Jesus Christ did, he came to the earth to show us God, and he taught us, and he sought us, and then he also bought us. What he did was he would, as a sinless man, go to an old rugged Roman cross and on that cross pay the penalty and the price of a holy God for all mankind's sin. The praise God, the sin debt was taken care of on a cross some 2,000 years ago. And he was fully man and died a full man's death under the agony of that cross. But on that cross, he suffered for all the sins of all mankind and all the wrongs and the vile things and the little things and the big things of sin that we commit. And he paid that price in full on the cross. That's what he did. He's enough. Because he was God in fullness on that cross, the price that he paid was not only the sin debt for one man, but all mankind. Jesus Christ, because of him being deity, because of him being who he saw the fullness of God in completeness, he was able to put every man, every woman, every child, black, brown, yellow, white, all in a savable position that people can be saved, that people can come and have their sins forgiven, and they can know Christ as their Savior. That's what he did. On that cross, he met those full demands of a holy, righteous God. And heaven rang out that day, that many years ago, and said, satisfied, satisfied, satisfied. God is satisfied with what Jesus Christ did on a cross. He met in full the demands of a holy, righteous God. And after he was resurrected, praise God, sin was conquered and death was conquered and hell was conquered and the grave were conquered, and we are victorious in Jesus Christ because of what he did on that cross and the resurrection that followed those days later. When we first bought the property here at Victory, it was some acreage here, and we had to go to the zoning commission to get an acceptance to build a church because it was in agricultural zoning. And I had to go around to all the people that own property around us to get an okay from them to be able to put a church here. And so I did that, and most were pretty gracious about it. I went over here and back here, and the guy that owned this lot next to us over here at the time, I had to go see him. Well, this was in the late 1980s now. And so I got there, and I found out he was actually related to me. What a blessing. And I got to talking with him, and I really didn't know him. He was like a second or third cousin, you know. And I asked him, like I would do with people, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And he said, well, I'm the Sunday school superintendent at a church that I used to go to growing up down here in Boonesboro. And it's a very liberal church. He said, I would hope so, or something along that line, or I would think so. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, what do you think it takes to get into heaven? He said, oh, you got to be baptized and live a good life. I said, so you got to be baptized, you go get baptized, it's baby or whenever, yeah, and you try to live a good life, best you can, treat people good and all that. He said, yeah. I said, well, let me ask you a question then. Why did Jesus have to come? I always remember, this was a long time ago, I remember his exact response. That's a good question. You see, if you're sitting here today and you say, well, I'm a good person, I should go to heaven, that's not correct. You see, why would Jesus have to come if just living good gets you to heaven, or being baptized or joining the church or whatever else you want to put? There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, who paid the price for your sins. But theology says of who Jesus was, of what he did, but also now, what's he doing for us now? He sits in heaven on the right hand of God. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's for us. When the old Satan comes and rails against us, and they look down, look at that Ed Wade. He's a preacher. And look what he's doing, or look what he said, or look what he's thinking. Praise God, Jesus is there and says, he's under the blood. He's under the blood. You see, Jesus is enough. He's enough to help us. He's in heaven. He hears our prayers. He's our great high priest in heaven, where when we have needs and troubles and burdens of life, we can go and share that with him, and he'll give encouragement, and he'll give guidance, and he'll give direction. Praise God, he's enough in the day and age that we live in. He's enough. And he allows us as his followers and his believers, as the Bible says, to be more than conquerors. We're victorious in Jesus Christ. By faith we walk each day, trusting and following the Lord. You see, the Bible tells us, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's done for us, and that's what he's doing for us now. He's enough in your life. Theology, the Bible, we just read all that, says that. All those alls in the Bible says that he's enough. But my second point is that lifeology. Now, some of you and my wife out there is a stickler on good English. She's still trying to correct me on my English and my tenses and all that type of thing. And I'll tell her the same thing. I've been doing it for 70 years. I'm still going to struggle. I'll hear it on the way home, I know. But yes, lifeology. You say, is that a word? It's a word because I just said it was a word. Lifeology. In other words, the real life. Oh, that's in the Bible. Life, where you're at today, where I'm at today. Is Jesus enough in your life today? Is he enough to help you in this journey of life that we're living? I can look out here and I can tell you my troubles and you can tell me yours. I want to tell you, Jesus is enough. He's enough to save us. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, and when we realize that we've wronged God by our sin and our actions and our words and our deeds and our thoughts, and we realize we need a Savior and there's only one in this world, and we come back to Jesus Christ and we ask Him to save us and forgive us, and praise God, He'll do exactly that. Even today, if you walked in the building without Christ as your personal Savior, you had an experience where you accepted Christ as your Savior at a time in your life, praise God, He'll save you even today. He'll save you, and your sins will be forgiven, and praise the Lord, they're forgotten. A lot of things in my life I wouldn't want people to know about. How about you? Praise God, they're forgotten. Forgiven and forgotten. They've been forgotten and forgiven once. One time when we trust Christ for all of our sins, for all time and forever. Wow. What a blessing. What a blessing. Never get over the fact that God looked down from heaven and made sure you heard the gospel. A lot of people in the world don't get that opportunity. And by the way, Pastor Aaron, I am so thankful that the church continues strong in its mission and soul winning outreach. And thank for all the folks that support missions and outreach ministries of this church. We have been blessed. We have heard the gospel. And if you've never heard it, you're hearing it today. But Jesus is enough to save us. He borns us again and puts us in the family of God. And our name is written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. Praise God, mine was written in there 40 years ago. 40 years ago, he penned Edward J. Wade, got a reservation, and one day, I'm going to make it, walk up. They'll look in the book of life. They'll look back quite a few pages now, and my name's in there in the Lamb's book of life. How about yours? Amen. But he's not only enough to save us, he's enough to change us. He changes a believer's destiny from hell to heaven. From hell to heaven. In an instant when we believe. But he also changes our life and our habits that are maybe wrong or bad habits. Now, I know it'll shock you, but I used to have a pretty foul mouth. Before I was saved, I was a cusser and I was a drinker. When I got saved that night, sitting in my living room down in the old hollows of Kentucky down there on Silver Run, back up in the woods, a little short preacher came to my house and gave me the gospel, and praise God, I accepted Christ that day. Had a six-pack of Budweiser in the refrigerator. Had a foul mouth, but you know what? After that night, whenever I said those words, and by the way, those words are still in there, God started cleaning my language up. Never did open that six-pack. Sharon drank it. Only joking. See, I can't get away without putting humor in there, can I? No, we just poured it down the drain. Amen? And there's people that we still, even as believers, we can struggle with things in our life that have a hold on us, certain addictions that people can have. The problem of lying or deceiving, the lust or the fantasies that we can have, and addiction to pornography that's rampant today. Maybe it's the booze, maybe it's the gambling, maybe it's the cheating, maybe it's the stealing, but all types of things that, yes, can get a hold on the believer's life. Praise God, Jesus is enough to change all that. He's enough. He's enough. He's enough to save us. He's enough to change the habits in our life to good things. And praise God, he's enough to change our way of thinking. My way of thinking changed after I got saved. You know, we can be selfish. We can have pride. And I probably still got a good bit of that. And I'm an only child. That's my problem. I'm blaming it all on that. We can think we're always right. And I've learned I'm not always right. Now, when I was pastor, I was always right. But it changes our outlook on things, changes our ideas about sin and what's wrong, and changes our ideas about what's right. Praise God, it can change our ideas about unforgiveness. And some of you here today have issues of life that you have never resolved, and bitterness and unforgiveness still rule your heart when you see that person, and that feeling wells up in you. Unforgiveness, get it taken care of. Jesus is enough to help you. And certainly feel like I've been wronged in life at times. And I've been able, for most, and I trust all one day, to be able to kneel down and say, God, I forgive them. And remember where and when it was. And whenever you see that person again or that name comes up, you remember back, Lord, I forgave them right then. That's the way you handle it. Praise God, it changes our way of thinking to not dwell on the past. Probably many people today, sitting here this morning, you've had failures in the past. You've had mess up. You made wrong choices in the past. But praise God, Jesus Christ can give you a new way of thinking. He's enough to do it. He's enough. He can change your heart. He can change your mind. He can make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. He can do that to overcome those things that burden you down. It's like a chain and a ball that you drag around. I remember going to somebody's house one time and they had visited the church, and it wasn't a minute that I was talking and said, well, I want to let you know I'm divorced. Well, okay. Praise God, God can forgive it all. Amen? We all make mistakes, folks. I have, you have, we all have. But don't let it drag like a ball and a chain around that's just on your mind and you can't go forward with those things. I remember a couple years, right before I retired from the pulpit here, a man sat in the back over in this section, back over here, and he was a little older man. He had a beard. I didn't know who it was. And he sat there, and after the service was over, normally visitors, you know, they want to zip right out, don't they? I was like that when I got saved. When I got saved and I went to church, I sat in the back row and the back corner of a church that had about 500 people in it. I mean, I was way back there. Man, I was out. But praise God, God had something else in store. But that man sat in the back, and he didn't go out quickly. And I tried to go back. I always liked it, like Pastor Aaron, shake their hand, welcome, thank them for coming, and so forth. And I went back that day, and he kind of lingered back there, and I kind of see he wanted to talk. So I said, well, you know, good to have you, so forth. He said, here's something I always hated. You don't remember me, do you? You don't remember me. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I don't remember you. He said, I stopped by your office many years ago, and you talked with me. I'm going back. He said, I used to live in Boonesboro, and I moved up to Pennsylvania, and it hit me who it was. When we first had the original building here, my office was in the back. Okay, this was before we added on and expanded all this. It was in the back there. And so I'd leave the door open and let the front door open. Somebody could walk in. We didn't have many. We were a very small church at the time. And I heard somebody, the door open up and close behind somebody out there, and they walked through. And they come back, and I heard them. So I came out, and, yeah, can I help you? Yeah, can I talk to you a couple minutes? Sure. So he came in the office back here. And he said, I'm loaded up. I got everything I got in the car, and I'm headed to Pennsylvania. I said, okay, sometimes we'd have people stop by. They wanted gas or they want money. But he says, well, can I talk to you? I said, well, sure. He said, You don't know me, but I lived in Boonesboro area here, and my wife just left me with the kids. I said, I am, you know, sorry. He said, a while back I lost my job. And he said, then we couldn't make our house payments, and they foreclosed on our house. He said, my wife had enough of it, and she left me, went back to her parents with the kids, and I don't know what to do. He said, I don't think I got a friend in the world, but I was driving by, and I thought, I'm going to stop at that little church. And I didn't know if somebody was there or not. Of course, my vehicle would have been parked out there, but came by and came back in the office. We talked. He's telling me all this, and, you know, tears are in his eyes. You could see this guy is hurting. He's hurting. I mean, you think about it, you lost your job. That's a lot for a man. You lost your house that you'd worked for. Your wife leaves you and takes the children with her. I mean, what do you got left? He said, I don't think I got a friend in the world. I'm not always the sharpest pencil in the box. But I said, you know, I got a friend that'll never leave you. He said, really? He sat in the chair in my office. I gave him the gospel that Jesus Christ loved him, died on the cross, rose again from the grave, gave him the full gospel. And I said, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? He said, yes, I would. Now, I don't often do this with people. I said, if you mean it, get down on your knees right here. Now, I didn't say it mean, but I said, get down on your knees. And he got down on his knees, and I came around my desk and sat at the chair next to him, and I got on my knees, and he's on his knees, and he's bawling. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. And I gave him some assurance verses and figure, I never see him again. He moved up to Pennsylvania. That day he came back. And I don't know what he was doing in Boonesboro. Maybe he's seeing his kids or something. I don't know. He said, Pastor Wade, I want to thank you. He said, when I left, you said, get into a good Baptist Bible preaching church. You know, I did that. And I have been faithful in church as a Christian ever since that time. I want to tell you, folks, Jesus is enough to change your life, to change your way of thinking in the world that we live in today. He can still do that today for you. He can do it for you. He's enough. He's enough to save us. He's enough to change us. He changed my life. I hate to say this. I know you think good of me, I guess, but I can be selfish. I can be self-centered. And I was even more so growing up. That it was all about me. And when I went and I got a job, this was before salvation, and I wanted to work my way up in a company down in Ashland, Kentucky. It was Ashland Oil Company, make Valvoline. I worked for a coal company. And I wanted to be successful. And I got a job there and worked my way up. I thought, I want to be a vice president of this company by the time I'm 30. And you know what? I was on my way. Age 27, I was a general manager. Had numerous people working underneath of me. They moved me from down on the first floor up to the top floor of the building. That's where all the big shots were at. Now you see where I get my pride. Because I wanted to be somebody. But you know what? God had other plans. Praise God, that little old Baptist preacher came to my house after we visited the church. My wife had gotten saved weeks before I came, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. It was not long after that that God called us into the ministry full time, and I left all that I had, that comfortable job, all the V Company vehicle, all the perks that you would have, and I headed, it's like I say, I loaded up the truck and I moved to Tennessee. But praise God, He changed my life. He changed my way of thinking. Jesus is enough to do that. And I'll tell you this morning, obedience to God still brings a blessing. He's enough to secure us from our doubts. He's enough to give us security from our fears and all of our anxieties. He can give us that security because of His undergirding love. And I want to tell you, there's times that I've been low in my life that I didn't know if I was going to go on. But you know, that was the time that I felt the love of God like I'd never felt it before. The love of God. It overwhelmed me in my lowest points. The God of heaven loves me. He's enough to secure us. The little song that, it's in the songbook, but we rarely sing it, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He's enough to secure us. And lastly, this morning, He's enough to keep His promises. He'll keep the promise of God. He's promise of power into our life. The promise of Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You say, I can't do it. I can't make it, Pastor. I can't go on another day. Oh, yes, you can. Maybe not in your own strength, but God's strength, you can make it. When you put in the grave that dearest one that was your spouse for all those years, you think, I just don't know I can go on anymore. Praise God. His grace is sufficient. For you. You can make it. The promise of His grace that is sufficient in our times of weakness, in our times when accidents happen and we don't know which way to turn and we say why, or you get that diagnosis that I'm sorry, but I think you have cancer. And certainly we've seen that in people's lives in our church over those years. But I want to tell you, the promise of God, Jesus, is still enough to give you the grace. When you need it. The grace of God. The promise of His presence. You know, you wouldn't think in the world that we live in today that people are lonely. You wouldn't think with all the social media and the media out there and people and all that, but I want to tell you there may be somebody sitting here this very morning just like that guy those many years ago that came into my office. Didn't feel like he had a friend, and yet I'm sure he did, but that's the way he felt. But there's maybe somebody sitting here today, you're surrounded by people, but you feel all alone. Maybe it's a stay-at-home mom, and you got the kids, and boy, you just feel isolated. Maybe you're a single person, or maybe you just went through a divorce. All types of things that can happen in our life, and you feel alone. You don't want to go out and tell somebody, say, you know, I'm really feeling lonely. You're not going to say that probably. But I want to tell you, Jesus is enough. He's enough. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. He said He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That's the promise of Christ. And lastly, the promise of His return. He is coming again. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Life proves that Jesus is enough. Life proves it. There's testimony that we could have at the end of this service when people could stand up and say, you know, preacher, you're right. I was so far down, I didn't know which way to turn, but He was enough to get me through. I didn't think I could make it, but He's enough to get me through. He's enough to help me. He's enough to heal the hurts. He's enough in my life to let me go forward even in victory. And you, like I, have been in valleys of life that have been so low that we didn't know if we were going to be able to make it. And praise God, we got through that old dark valley, that deep valley of trouble and trial and anxiety, and started heading up the other side. Why? Because Jesus is enough. He's enough in your life. He's enough to overcome your fears. He's enough to overcome your doubts. He's enough to overcome your failures. He's enough to overcome your loneliness. He's enough to overcome your hurts. He's enough to give us salvation full and free by the grace of God. He's enough to give us victory in life. He's enough to take us to heaven one day just exactly as he promised he would. And I'm going to ask you this morning as we draw this message to a close, is Jesus Christ enough in your life? He'll help you in a marriage that's falling apart. He'll help you with children and raising children in this world that we live in today. He'll help you as a widow, a widower. He'll help you as a single person. He'll help you as a teenager. He'll help you because he's enough. He's enough. And you need to now to exercise faith. You know, I don't know who the message is for today. For one, it was for me. I won't go into all that. But it's for someone else, I would think. He's enough. Will you come and confess it today? Will you come and say, Pastor, the anxieties that I have, but I'm going to believe Jesus is enough. The illness that I have, I believe Jesus is enough. If you're here without Christ, he's enough to save me. I want you to bow your heads right where you're at. We're going to give an invitation now, an altar call.